There's an email sent out that Miss Taylor Crick had her baby here about 2 weeks ago, and we're doing a meal train for them. So if you got that email, sign up for a day and, take them a meal and be a blessing to them and just show that we love them at this time and what a real blessing that baby. And then also there's a sign up out in the foyer for the extras at the Memorial Day picnic. So check that out. And we're going to have a picnic at our house after the hike. And so if you can sign up to, whatever's on there, right? Exactly. Chips, salad, dessert, that kind of stuff. Ephesians chapter 4, and we've just been talking about a few things in regards to the church, and I hope it's been a help to you, maybe clear some stuff up. And I think I introduced last week was Mother's Day, but before that we talked about just the concept of church membership in the Bible, and then we just went over some things that we believe, and we're not teaching those things that we believe, we're just letting you know what we believe. But Ephesians chapter 4, and there's a few places in the Bible that kind of tells us what the church is for and what God's intent is for it. And look at and when I talk about the church, we understand that I'm talking about the local church here. Okay, I'm talking about a local organized body of believers. We understand that there are the congregation, those that are everyone that is saved and born again, but we're talking about the local church specifically, the organization that God uses in this age to get the gospel out and to promote growth in his people and spiritual maturity. And so that's what the church is here for. The church is here to bring people from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. That's clear in the Bible. That's why God gave us the church. And if you look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." So he's talking about gifts to the church. And there was an apostolic and prophetic age. There was an evangelical age, and there's a pastor age. And these are gifts to the church. And he says in verse 12, so Merry Christmas, "For the perfecting of the saints." Perfecting doesn't mean sinless. It means to be made complete. Right? So for the completion, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so God gives us leaders, spiritual leaders, pastors and teachers to help us grow, and so that the work of the ministry can be done and that the body of Christ may be edified. And so we understand that the work of spiritual leadership, that the work of the pastor is to feed and minister to people so that they can grow and edify them. But we also understand that the body of Christ, that Christians edify each other, right? So it's for the work of the ministry. And the ministry is not just done by a pastor, right? There's a lot of things that are ministering in the Bible. Ministry just means servanthood. It just means to minister means to serve, right? To attend to needs, to attend to wants, right? And to help. And so every Christian should minister in some way. Every Christian should. And look what he says in verse 13, "till we all come in the unity of faith." So there's a purpose for this. "Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And so every Christian's goal is to be like Christ. Right? And every church's goal is to be Christ-like as a body. Amen. And in charity, in faith, in love, in righteousness, in holiness, we ought to grow into spiritual maturity, not only as an individual, but also corporately as a church. We ought to desire that, to become more like Jesus Christ. And none of us are exactly like Jesus Christ, but that's our end goal, right? And we know that ultimately, when the Lord calls us home, that every one of us is going to be like Christ. But until then, we serve toward that, we work toward that, and we have faith toward that. But the way that it's accomplished is by the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, how's that work. Look at what he says in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, right? So just not every, you know, when you get mature, not every little idea that blows by carries you off, right? You get stabilized. You get stabilized in doctrine and teaching and in the correct use of Scripture and obedience to Scripture. He says, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And, you know, we are probably past the day when you could be accosted walking down the lane by some heretic, you know, that's trying to sell you something or get you into their cult, right? But where we find the sleight of hand, the sleight of word, the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness, more rampant than ever, right? It is online. Right? And there have always been heresies, and there's always, the devil traffics in false information, in twisted information, in lies wrapped in a truth, right? He's done it for years. He's an angel of light, the Bible says. And it's a minefield out there, and the church is to establish you in right doctrine and teaching so that you're not blown about by every wind of doctrine, by every new thing that comes along. And I think as we get closer to the time of the Lord's return, I believe that it will even become more evident in the church, because people are constantly assaulted with different doctrines and teachings. And you always have to keep in mind that every doctrinal system has some reason behind it and makes sense in a certain philosophical paradigm, every one of them. All right, you can't say that everyone that disagrees with you is an idiot, right? Understand that. But so as a Christian, you have to decide, is this where God wants me? Amen. Is this where God wants me, and is this where I can grow? And if it is, then good. You see? Now look at Ephesians chapter 4 again, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And so, once again, the goal is to grow toward being like Christ. And one of the ways that that is done is that the word is spoken in love. The word is ministered in love. Now he says in verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. There's a double meaning here, right? He uses both the analogy of the human body, but also carpentry. Every joint fitly joined together, right? And every piece in that building. In the book of Ephesians, as we see in chapter 1 and chapter 2, the church is compared both to a body and to a building. And some of the phrases and terms are interchangeable. So, you know, they used to call a carpenter a joiner, because the church is the temple of the Lord. It's a building, right? And in the same sense, in a different sense, the church is the body of Christ. Right? And so a body also has joints, right? And so every part of a building has a purpose. You just don't go start taking out pieces saying, oh, we don't need that piece. We don't need that beam, right? We don't need that header, right? We don't need that footing. No, you need those things. And the same goes for the human body, right? Every joint, every member, every piece has a part, and it's important, right? And so God places us in a church, And he gives us specific gifts, and those gifts are to be used to minister to each other. Amen. Right? And so, you know, today my hands were scrubbing my hair. Right? And then when I'm swinging an axe, my head keeps me from chopping my hand off. Right? We watch out for each other. Amen? My hand feeds my body. Right? And on and on. And so the body ministers to itself. And so if God placed you in a church, then you have something to offer. Right? Now, you have something to offer, and just as important, if not more important, the church has something to offer you. Right? And sometimes it's easy to get in the mindset that one way or the other. You know, some people, it's like, I'm here to help the church. Right? And then if you don't think you're helping the church in the way that you should, you feel out of place. But remember this, the church is also here to help you. So in helping the church, remember that God also has some things that you need for you, from the church, from the preaching, from the teaching, from your interaction with other people. And people get frustrated because they only see themselves sometimes as there for the church, or oppositely, sometimes people only see the church as being there for them, right? And both of those are wrong. The church is here for you, and you're here for the church. And both of those things are very important. You need to get out of this church what you need for your spiritual life, right? You need to take advantage of the things that the church offers, right? And so, and that's very important. And I'm telling you, it is, yeah. And I say this, like, why should I have to say this? But the church for the Christian is not an option. It is God's means of promoting maturity in his believers. And when we get estranged from the church, we get estranged from those tools that God uses to help us grow. Period. Right? And so, yes, we all know the 1 in 1 million exception, you know, that maybe is not part of a church and they're a spiritual giant. But for the most part, you get out of church, you get a skew of church, you get crossways with someone in the church or with the pastor. You get out of church, you backslide. Period. It's just true. Why? Because 100 times he told you that he uses the church to promote your spiritual maturity. And you cannot overemphasize the value of that. But it's also important to understand, if you're going to be part of a church, what it's there for and what you're there for. Because that'll help you. Or else it just becomes a thing where it's like, I'm showing up and I don't know why. Right? And then it just becomes religion. And we don't want that. We don't want that. Look what he says then again in verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. See, every part has a role. Maketh the increase of the body. Now look what it says. Unto the edifying of itself in love. So edify, it's where we get that old word edifice, right? As in a wall, right? As in a building, as in something that's constructed, right? And so to edify means to simply to build up, right? And we all need built up. We all need to, we need those building blocks, right? To build a wall around our family, amen. To build a wall, a spiritual wall around our heart and our mind, hallelujah, that's important. Right? We need those things, but we need to be built up like as in muscles are built up, right? Where you exercise, right? And someone was just telling me about how much after a certain age, your muscles just start eating themselves and you lose muscle mass, you know? That's why you got to get big before you get old, or else, you know, by the time you're, you know, or else there'll be nothing left, I guess. I hear this and I'm freaking out after I talk to you, Brother Potter. Absolutely freaking out, you know? And, but you know what those muscles need? They need building blocks, right? They need protein, right? And you can't expect to be strong against the world, the flesh, and the devil when you're ignoring the building blocks that God provides for your maturity. And I say this over and over because it's true. It's true. And I'm just going to say this before I continue, okay? You know, you ever get cold? Of course you do. You're cold today, right? And you know what happens when you're out in the cold and you're not dressed warm enough or your body cannot heat every part of itself? What gets cold first? Who said extremities? Yeah, your extremities, right? That your body is going to make sure that it uses energy to keep your brain and your heart, your vital, we call them vital organs. And so the first thing it's going to rob of blood flow and warmth is the extremities that, hey, we all need them, but we might be able to live without them, you know. You can get some of that government cheese if your fingers fall off, you know. You know, get that Velveeta, peel that little cellophane off, you know. I hope there's no one without fingers in here this morning. That is terrible. But, right, what happens is the body starts robbing resources from the things you can do without. Right? Because it keeps the things that are vital, okay? And as Christians, and we just need to watch this in our lives, okay? When we get cold, when we get busy, when we get anxiety, when we get depressed, when we get overwhelmed, what we do is the first thing we do is we drop the things we can do without because they're not vital. And when you get under pressure and the first thing you want to drop is church, it just indicates that it's not vital to you. Right? In fact, when you don't feel like being a part of Christ's body is probably when you need it the most. Right? And the impulse to withdraw is a self-preservation instinct used by the devil to destroy you. That's why you find Elijah in a cage repeating himself and saying, I've been so jealous of the God of Israel, and look at what happened to me. Remember when the Lord said, what are you doing here, Elijah? What was he? He was down. He was depressed. And what did he do? He left his servant, right? He got away from people and he withdrew. And that is our instinct, right? But it is dangerous because then the only counsel you have is whatever spirits are flying around in your head and your own, right? And sometimes you need someone else to talk you through those times. And so, listen, this advice will help you. When you get in those times, that's the worst time to stay away from God's main means of helping you. And yet I see it over and over and over and over and over again. And you're just revealing your heart. That's what you're doing. You're revealing your heart. You're revealing what's most important to you because you don't cancel work. You don't cancel the softball game. You don't cancel going to Costco. Right? You're welcome. Not forsaking the assemblings of ourselves together as the manner of some is, right? But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so for your own spiritual health, all right, take advantage of the church. Take advantage of it. And we all, listen, we all have those times when we just don't want to be around God's people. You know? Yeah. Does that ever happen to you, Pastor? No, not at all. Every Sunday morning at 8:30. No, I'm joking. I'm teasing. Okay? But if it becomes a habit, you gotta ask yourself, what's going on here? Right. All right? Because not only are you there for them, but they're there for you. And I'm trying to help you here. And I am a man who has drawn great piles of dividends from the church and from my friends in the church. You know, I got a friend 2 weeks ago. He calls me up and he says, I need you to top me off the cliff. You know, he's one of the finest people I know in the world, right? But what did he need? He needs the church. We all do. And you know what's the funny thing? I called him last week and said, hey, I need you to talk me off the cliff. He said, are you going to shoot somebody? I said, no, you were going to shoot somebody. I'm just going to jump off a bridge. You know, I'm teasing. These are all metaphors. I'm not jumping off a bridge. I'm not suicidal, right? I hung up the phone and I thought, thank you for that resource. That's a resource. Why not use it? Amen. We're not all the Lone Ranger. You know, very few of us are John Wayne Christians. Howdy, partner. Belly up to the bar. Don't grab that six iron. Right? Right off into the sunset. Who does he love? Who loves him? Does he keep his own counsel? He's just such a big, strong man. Must draw his strength from within. Yeah, that's the rare person. But most of us need each other. Yes, we do. And I, for one, have benefited greatly from it. And there's been a few times when the church has saved my life and saved my family. And I love the church. I love the church. I love you. I love everyone in here. And I love his greater church, right? God loves us through the church. All right, none of that's in my notes. So you're in for it this morning. I don't have that much to say, but so I want to talk a little bit this morning about, and then we're going to finish up just what we believe, I think, next week. But I just want to talk. I want to talk about this because it's very important, and that is my role in this. All right, and I want you to look at a couple of passages here, and hopefully I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 5. So everybody has gifts, and we're going to look at that. But look at 1 Peter chapter 5, and look at verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort. 1 Peter 5, 1, okay? The elder, which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also partaker. You know, as a side note for you little scholars, you nerds, that was a big problem that Sir Thomas More had with Tyndale, because a lot of that elders, the Greek word's presbyteros, which from which we get presbytery. A lot of the Catholics would translate that as priests. And Tyndale came through and changed that. First, he went senior, elder, senior, right? Latin, senior, right? And then he came up with elder, right? Which is a better word than priest, right? Because that's what presbyteros means. It means an elder, someone who's aged or someone who has maturity, right? That's just a little side note for you, but. Elders are bishops, right? They're pastors, they're leaders of the church. Now look what he says. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now he says this, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. So a pastor... And we've already commented on this on Wednesday night, right? But just the pastor has two main jobs, and one is to spiritually feed the flock, right? That's what a pastor means. Pasture comes from pasture or pasta, right? It means sheep or pasture, shepherd, right? It's having to do with a flock, right? And so he says to those elders, feed the flock of God, right? So the church is God's flock. And so a pastor has two main jobs. He's to feed the flock spiritually, and B, he's to oversee the operations of the church, taking the oversight thereof. And he's to do it willingly. He's not to do it because it's his job, A, and he's not to do it for money. He's to do it of a ready mind, right? So he's not to be in it for the money. And which is normally not a problem in an independent Baptist church. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I should have gone to Gonzaga, man. I could have smoked cigars. And, I'm teasing, you know, I just look at that, you know, down at the pizza joint there in Missoula when I was a kid, and the priest from St. Francis would go down there and he'd be meeting a parishioner and he'd be there with a big thing of beer and, you know, and a cigar. And I'm thinking first class liberal arts education from Gonzaga or Georgetown or Notre Dame. And you just get to do whatever the heck you want. Those guys. Now, that's the way to go. That's the way to go. Except you can't get married. Big problem. Big problem. Ain't gonna work. Anyways, I didn't mean to say any of that. But he says, neither as being lords over God's heritage. I hope my humor doesn't offend you. You wouldn't be here if it did. Neither as being lords over God's. Okay, so a pastor has two main jobs. He is to feed spiritually, feed the word of God, provide for spiritual nourishment, and he's to oversee. The ministries of the church. Now go back here to Ephesians chapter 4. And so it can be very, you know, every Christian is gifted in one of several areas, right? We all have giftings, and the Lord gives us leaders to help us facilitate mysteries, where we can use those gifts. If you're in Ephesians 4, sorry, go to Romans chapter 12. I'll just show you a couple things. I'm just going to show you a couple things, and we already saw it, Ephesians chapter 4, so you've got it memorized now, right? Right? He said he gave some, right, pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so I'm to help you use your gifts for the Lord. I am. Right? And that's how we grow. Now we grow from benefiting from other people's gifts, and we grow from exercising our gifts, right? So I give you spiritual food, and you follow the Word of God, obey the Word of God, implement it in your life, use those gifts that God has given you, and you exercise them. You see, what happens with a lot of Christians is they receive spiritual food, but they never do anything with it, right? And if you're gonna drink that, you know, protein shake in the morning, you know, and all that stuff, you'd probably need to hit the gym, you see? And so you have to exercise those gifts. You have to exercise them. And you know what happens when we quit exercising? All sorts of things, right? All sorts of things start breaking down. Look at Romans chapter, where'd I say go? Romans. We're going to Romans. We're going to Romans, and we're going to Romans chapter 12. Now look what he says, verse 3, Romans 12, 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man according to the measure of faith. It's very important as a Christian not to think too highly or too little of yourself, but to think, that's true humility. True humility is not telling everyone you're a dirtbag. True humility is just taking an honest assessment of yourself. Amen. Some people hide behind that, well, I'm nothing, so I can't do anything. No, you are something. Yeah. He's about to go on and tell you that you've been gifted by the Spirit of God, by the Creator of the universe, to do something for Him. So you're not nothing, right? It's just you need to remember that those are gifts given to you of God, and so you are a steward of those gifts under the authority of God Almighty, right? And we are not to impose our own will, our own goals, our own plans on those things, but to humbly use those gifts that we all have for the edification of the body, right? And so it's look what he says here. He says, verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. We've already talked about that, right? So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Amen. What's he saying, Corinthians, right? The thumb doesn't say, because I'm not the foot, I'm not of the body. We're all the members are part of the body. So what's he say? He says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. And that's something that's very important to remember. We are members one of another. This is fun in Northwest Montana. That means I belong to you, and you belong to me, and you belong to you, and you belong to her, and we're members one of another. Yeah. Amen. God did that for us. Okay? Let's keep going. Look what he says. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And that prophecy there is preaching. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Or he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another, in brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. And so we all are, and there's different places where gifts are mentioned, right? Different places where they're mentioned, but God gives us certain gifts, and we're to use those gifts for God. Look over here at 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians. And so God gives you a gift, and you're to serve other Christians with those gifts. But by love, serve one another, he says in Galatians chapter 5. Okay, so I am to feed you the Word of God, and I am to provide a place for you right, to where you can serve God, where you can minister to other people. In other words, I'm to provide a people a place to serve God. That's one of my jobs, right? And so that's why we have different opportunities to minister to the body and to minister to the world. And we had Brother Newt and a couple of the girls, I think was it you, Miss Lydia and Miss Jaden, they were got in the bus this morning, went and picked up some kids for church, right? And someone's up in the nursery right now watching baby, and there were teachers this morning teaching our young people the Word of God. There's somebody teaching our young people the Word of God right now in the other building. And there's a man out there doing security and helping any latecomers. And there's just lots of this. Brother Paul's leading songs. That's a ministry. That's a great ministry. Miss Kelly playing the piano, right? And someone, listen, you're not, there's not rappers all over the floor, okay? Yeah, if you came in here and there's wrappers all over the floor, you'd be like, what's going on here? But someone vacuumed yesterday. You say, well, that's not a big deal. It would be if it's not done for 6 weeks. Yeah. You know, it looked like a movie theater in here, you know? And so just because it smells like one doesn't mean it has to look like one, you know? And so all of these things are used, and I'm to provide a place for you to serve. And now, where'd I say go? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. It says this, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member but member. One member, but many. We've all drank the same Spirit when we were born again. Right. That means the Spirit that is in you is in me, and that's why we are joined one to another spiritually. Yeah. It's mean when you're hurting, I'm hurting. Yeah. Yep. And when I'm hurting, you're hurting. You say, I know that, preacher. When you hurt, we all hurt. Stop hurting. It's annoying. You know? But it's true. Amen. We suffer with each other, not just, oh, I feel sorry for you, or, oh, that's terrible that happened. Literally suffer when someone is in here, right, and they're just, their spirit is down, or they have a bad spirit, especially in a room this size, it can permeate. And everybody suffers, right? I've said it a million times, you know, you sit down at dinner, and you got one teenager that's being a turd, and it's just this cloud over the whole table. Right, and that's how the church can be. Right, we all suffer when you suffer, and that's important to keep in mind. We're members one of another. Right, and look, listen. What's the new commandment that Christ gave to us? Love one another. Do you understand that you are commanded by your Lord to love the people in this church? Well, I'm sick of the people in this church. You're not right with God. I don't want to be around the people in this church. You're not right with God. You're backslidden. You're sinning. It's a sin to not love the brethren. And love is not just, well, I love you, but I hate you right now. I'm talking love. Listen, love is an action. It's more than an emotion. But by love, serve one another. Walk in love as Christ hath loved us and offered himself as a sweet-smelling sacrifice to God. Over and over and over and over and over again in the Bible, we are commanded to love one another. And when we find ourselves in a place where we don't love the people of our church, either because they're not spiritual enough for us, or because they're too spiritual for us, or because they don't like to talk about the same things we talk about, or because I've just seen their face too much, because you have problems getting close to people, or whatever it is, God gave you a church to help you with those things. You say, well, I just struggle being around people. I'm a loner. Well, I just, you know, I don't really like to open up, blah, blah. I'm not talking about all of us getting in here and having a gush fest. I was breastfed till I was six, you know. When I was 12, you know, I scored 12 points in the basketball game. My dad said I could do better, and it just crushed me. And I'm not saying we need to do that. Okay, but I mean, some of you have never learned how to have a friend, and how to be close, and how someone can sharpen you, and even rebuke you, or love you, right, and help you with things, right? And so the church even as a social unit, is a great resource for getting you out of your backwoods Montucky cave and coming into the light. You're welcome. Amen. It will help you, right? And we do need to socialize. And some of us struggle with that more than others. But remember what the Bible says. We are to love each other. You're to love this church. And when you find yourself constantly avoiding people, you have to ask yourself, what's going on? I'll tell you what you're not doing. You are not operating according to the love of God in Christ. Because Christ loves his church, and that love is in you if you're born again. And if you're not manifesting some type of love in some way to his church, you are not walking in the Spirit. You're walking in the flesh. Right? That's one of the things that a member does, is they understand in being part of a church that they are part of a body, and they are to benefit from that body, and that body is to benefit from them. Verse 14, for the body is not one member but many. If the foot shall say, I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? I'll tell you what it would do. If you would keep yourself in the love of God by being around God's people, it might keep you out of some trouble. Amen. See, that's what people don't want. Let's get down to the heart of the matter. You know what being part of a small church is? People are depending on you. And you know what that is? That's accountability. And I'm going to tell you something right now. There's not a person in this room that should not be accountable. Me and you and you and everybody should be accountable to somebody. Amen. Amen. My wife has access to everything that I do online. Amen. And listen, my wife knows where I'm at. Now, I'm not one of those, you know, where are you at? I'm worried. Please come home. I can't do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't have that relationship. Like, she's like, get out of here, you know? You know, like, I mean, you know, I think sometimes she does worry when I'm out trapping in the woods and it's 2 a.m. You know, I'm out there with the chains on trying to get out of the woods. She might worry a little bit, but that's what she got marrying me, you know. But I don't mean that. But she knows where I'm at and what I'm doing. And I don't say, you don't have to know, I'm a grown man. That's when you get married, you give up that, right? Come on. Amen. Right? Everybody has a degree of accountability. And it, you know what it does? Because you and I are all made of the same stuff. We're stinkers. We're rascals. And we're born selfish. And you know what we need? We need some accountability and some responsibility. To be like, people are depending on me. And it keeps you out of so much trouble. And when you find yourself pushing away and getting out of your responsibilities, I promise you, you're about to get into trouble. And I've seen it. I have seen it so many times in church. Okay, people start dropping services, then they start dropping their ministries. Pretty soon they have no ministries, right? Then their attendance is sporadic, right? And then within 6 months to 5 years, something big comes up. Why? Out of accountability, out of protection. And this is not one of those churches where, like, where were you? We don't do that, right? It's not like that. You have to make yourself responsible and accountable. No one's banging on your door. We're not going to send the two elders, the 21-year-old elders, over to your house with their little black name tags. Haven't seen your tithe in a month. That will never happen. We don't do that kind of garbage, right? It's voluntary. You have to make yourself accountable to God's people, right? It's willingly, not by constraint, but willingly, which is the only way to do things. Amen? Now, boy, we need to go home. You know, what a nice little lesson. Verse 15, the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is therefore not of the body. Can I just tell you something? We miss you. When, why? Because it's like, you ever, like, I remember when Pastor Blue first started getting, we didn't know it at the time, but he got Lou Gehrig's disease. And I remember we walked out of the staff meeting. We'd go to this restaurant for staff meeting. And we walked out, and I'll never forget it, because he's always this bigger, larger-than-life man. And I remember he was walking right behind me, and all of a sudden he just hit the ground, and he was a big man. And what happened was that he went like this, and he thought his foot was there. His brain told him his foot was there, but it never went there. I'll never forget. Well, I mean, I was trying to hold back the tears. It's really hard when you see someone big and strong fall. It just does something weird to you. Like when you see your dad weak for the first time. It's one of those things. But what happened was he thought the foot was there and it wasn't. Okay? Somebody here is a foot. I'm not going to say who. We got all sorts of parts in this church. And they're all necessary. And when you're not there, it's felt. It's felt. You know? And that we could go on and on that, but he says in verse 25 that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. We're to care for one another. If one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you're the body of Christ and members, what does he say? In what? In particular. Okay, so pastor's to provide a place for you to grow. He's to provide an opportunity for you to serve. And I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians, just right a few pages to the right. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. 2 Corinthians 1:24, not that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. Right? I don't own your faith. I'm not your boss. I'm your helper. Okay, this is what you have to remember, right? There are things in this church that we do for God, whether it's evangelism or missions or bus ministry or Sunday school or fellowships or youth ministry or college and career ministry, all of these things, right? And when someone says, hey, we need help in this ministry, okay? You know what they're doing for you? They're doing you a favor. Yeah. You're not doing me a favor by helping in this church. You're doing yourself a favor. Yeah. Why? Because you're getting an opportunity to use your gift for the Lord and to get rewards. Right? What does he say in Hebrews 13:17? Submit yourselves unto them that have the rule over you. Why? As they that may give an account must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. You're going to give an account and I'm going to give an account. Right? And I want to be able to give an account of my stewardship of you. Joy. And be like, oh man, yeah, they grew. Oh man, they got closer to you. Right? And so the opportunity to serve in the church is not a burden, right? And it's not for me. It's for the Lord. It's for the benefit of the church. And it's for your benefit in the future. Because you get to do something for God. Amen. Right? And if you look at it any other way, it's going to be awful. If you do it for me, that's fine until you don't like me anymore. And that time's coming. You know? I already don't like you. You know? Teasing. I love you. I'm teasing. I like everybody here. Right? But that time's coming. Or until someone offends you. But you're not doing it for them. Right? This is set up for you to use your gifts, right, for the edifying of the body, and also so you can have something at the judgment seat of Christ. And if you do it for any other reason, you won't make it. You will not make it. You have to look at that the right way, you know. And, you know, well, I have stories about all this stuff, but I'm not telling any of them today. All right, so listen. How do we grow? We grow through fellowship. We grow through discipleship. We grow through worship. We grow through ministry. We grow through evangelism, right? We grow through those things. And so what the church does is it provides those things for you so that you can grow, right? So iron sharpeneth iron. So you need fellowship. so the church provides fellowship opportunities outside of just church, right? And the church provides discipleship, Bible studies, outreach, different ways that you can learn to be obedient, right? These things are provided so that you can grow, right? All of these things, opportunity, outreach, evangelism, right? These things are so we can be discipled, so we can learn how to grow, how we can learn how to tell people about Jesus Christ, become stronger in our faith, right? We grow stronger. We grow stronger when we pray together and when we sing together. Aren't you thankful for the song service? Aren't you thankful for the times? I grow stronger singing these songs. I do. They build my faith. That's a vital ministry. What if we came in here and didn't sing at all? That would stink. It would. Some of you are like, let's sing right now. You know? Amen. And so the church provides these ministries for you to take advantage of, not only to serve in, but also to benefit from. So, you know, when there's a ladies get together or a men's get together or a youth get together, be a part of it because you need it. You need it. And when you find yourself avoiding it, what you're avoiding is God's means of helping you. Don't do it. Don't do it. Stay close. Stay close. What did Peter do? Why did Peter get in trouble? Why did he get in trouble? He got crossways with the Lord. Right? He's like, you're not going to the cross. You're the king of Israel. Tell you what, I'm going to cut off that guy's ear. Right? He had a little thing with the Lord. He had a misunderstanding. Right? So when John was up there following right next to him, right, went right into Pilate's hall with him, what did Peter do? He said, I don't know. And you find yourself doing that. And he found himself at the wrong fire. And they said, aren't you with Jesus? And I believe for 1 minute that Peter was scared. He just took on a whole platoon. I don't think Peter was scared. I think he was mad. I think he was, what is going on? Why is my Savior allowing himself to be arrested? He spoke, I am he, and the whole platoon fell on their backs. And now he's giving himself up. And we get that way in our lives. So sometimes we just, why is this going this way? Okay, and we allow things to get in there, and we start to withdraw. And the next thing he knew, he found himself by the fire. And they said, you're with Jesus. He says, I don't know him. I don't know him. He knew him. Peter knew Jesus. He's mad, right? He's mad. And we get that way as Christians. We withdraw. We don't take part in what we're supposed to. We let something get in there. And the next thing you know, it's like, I don't know them. And I don't feel anything for them. You see? And the next thing you know, he was denying Christ. And that rooster crowed, and our Lord Jesus just looked at him, and that's all it took. And he went out and he wept bitterly. And I want to tell you something, one of these days, I am going to stand before the Lord of heaven and earth, and he's going to have those same eyes. And he's going to look at me. And every denial, and every bitterness, every resentment towards God's people is going to come to the surface in 1,000 milliseconds. And I want to have joy in that day. Amen. And I want to follow him close. And I want to be part of what he has for me to be a part of. And so God gives us the church for those reasons. So what is membership? Membership is a commitment to love the people of this church. Membership is a commitment to endeavor to use your gifts to edify this church. There's no blood sample here. I'm telling you what membership is. It's a commitment to love. It's a commitment to try and use what God has given you for this body. It's a commitment to support the church financially, the Lord leads. It's a commitment to follow the spiritual leadership of the church. And Ephesians 4:3, it's a commitment to keep unity. And I'll probably do all of those the next time we meet. But this morning, My point is very simple. God gave you this church to you and for you, right? And so making yourself a part of a local Bible-believing church is part of God's plan, and it's something that should be entered into seriously, right? But also enthusiastically, right? Why? Because this is how God loves us. Let's close our, let's bow for prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for the Word of God.